Find, if you will, Psalm 23 and verse 3. We're going through a series in the 23rd Psalm. And Psalm 23:3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let me ask you a question. What do the following men have in common? Jacob, David, Samson, Simon Peter, John Mark, Gary Flint. Well, let me tell you, they're all men of God who have gotten out of fellowship with God and have been restored into fellowship with God. And by the way, you can add your name to that list too. It's the nature of sheep to wander away and get away from the shepherd. We sang about it just a moment ago. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But it's also the nature of the shepherd to restore the sheep. No wonder the David who had wandered so far was inspired to write this verse, He restoreth my soul. I want to talk to you today about how to get right with God and how to stay right with God. You know, many of us have become backsliders. Now, let me be quick to say, a backslider is not lost. A backslider is a saved person who's out of fellowship with God. In order to slide back, you got to have someone to slide back from. Relationships can't be broken. Fellowships can. The joy of your salvation can be lost. And that's why David wrote in Psalm 51 and verse 12, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He says, I need you to restore the joy of my salvation. So he wrote, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then today he restoreth my soul. The first thing I want to show you this morning is the ministry of the shepherd. And there are three kinds of sheep that need to be dealt with. First of all, there's the stubborn sheep. You know any stubborn sheep? Go look in the mirror and you might find one. That's good. Stubborn sheep walk their own way. You know, we tend to think about sheep being gentle and docile and easily led. But that's not necessarily so. A sheep can be very mulish. They can want to go their own way. Gary read it in a scripture a while ago, Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, all we like what? Sheep have done what? Gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. Sometimes stubborn sheep need to be restored. But then there's also the straying sheep, which needs to be returned. You know, these don't willfully go away. They just sort of carefully go away, carelessly go away. Oftentimes, they'll fall into a pit or a ravine somewhere. They'll get tangled up in some briars or bushes, and they need to be brought back into the fold. And then, number three, there's the sick sheep. You know, there's a lot of things out there that can poison or wound a sheep, and it was the ministry of the shepherd that he restore all three kinds of sheep, a stubborn sheep, a straying sheep, and a sick sheep. How will he restore you? He's got three tools. He's got a rod, he's got a staff, and he's got some oil. He restores the stubborn sheep with the rod. Now, here's what the shepherd would do. He'd pull up a young sapling somewhere by the roots, and he would trim the roots off, but you know there's knobs at the end of the of the sapling there, and he would smooth those off and get it all shaved down. And then he'd put nails through the knobs and add weight to it. And during those long days watching the sheep, he would practice throwing that thing, and he could use it as a deadly weapon to fight off against the lions and the wolves and the bears, and sometimes he'd even use it on the sheep. If he had a particularly stubborn sheep, he'd take that rod and he would break one of the legs of that sheep. And then he would immediately splint it. And he would put that sheep on his shoulders. And day after day, while that sheep's healing up, he fed that sheep and stroked that sheep and took care of that sheep. When the sheep was finally restored to its feet, an interesting thing happened. That sheep would never again wander away from the shepherd. He'd stay right by his side. As a matter of fact, often those sheep would become the lead sheep who led sheep from pasture to pasture with the shepherd. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." Now listen. "For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up." So the God who breaks us is the God who binds us up in order that we might return to him. And that's why David wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept his word." Jacob is another one. He was a shepherd himself, but he got away from God. And the Bible tells us that one night he wrestled with the Lord. And before that wrestling match was over, it said that the Lord put his hip out of joint. And then as we read the rest of the life of Jacob, we find out he spent the rest of his life leaning on that staff, on that rod. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21 says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshiped." How? "Leaning upon the top of his staff." God chastises his sheep, not because he doesn't love them, but because he does love them. And we have to learn to lean on Jesus. We go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Here's what it says. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields," look at this, "it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Remember that phrase. "The peaceable root of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And then we go back to our verse today. It says, "He restoreth my soul and he leads me in" what? "The paths of righteousness." If you've been a stubborn sheep and this kind of chastisement comes to you, there's three things that you can do. First of all, you could resent it. Hebrews 12, 5, "My son, despise not or resent not thou the chastening of the Lord." It'd be very foolish for you to despise or resent the chastening of the Lord. Why? Well, that kind of chastening, first of all, it reveals your sonship. Verse 6, for whom the Lord, what? Loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And a scourging is not just a spanking, it's severe. Sometimes it takes something like that to get our attention, but it reveals that you are a child of God and that he loves you. That's why he's giving you the chastening. You say, well, I run with the world and I dabble in sin and God doesn't chastise me. I wouldn't be bragging about that if I were you. If you were his child, he would have chastened you. You're illegitimate. You're claiming to be a Christian and you're not a Christian. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. There's no exceptions. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Not only reveals your sonship, it renews your worship. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Did you know that men, grown men, sometimes like to brag about the way their fathers disciplined them?
You wouldn't believe the whooping he gave me. They kind of swell up with pride about that. Why? Because they knew their father had a standard and that he loved them. That's why he disciplined them.
I've been in plenty of homes where people did not love their children enough to discipline them. I pity children who are in homes like that. That correction reveals our sonship. It renews our worship. It says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God's not in the business of making you happy. He's in the business of making you holy like him. He doesn't even save you to take you to heaven. That's just a fringe benefit of being saved. He saves you to make you holy like him. So that correction reveals our sonship. It renews our worship. Thirdly, it restores our fellowship. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Has God ever laid the rod on you? You're right in the middle of getting blisters raised up on your backside. Do you ever say, oh, you're such a good father? Oh, no. No chastening seems joyous at the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Jacob worshiped leaning on his staff. The sheep that had his leg broken never wanted to leave the shepherd again. Now, you can resent the chastening, or, number two, you can faint under the chastening. Hebrews 12:5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Have you ever known anyone who fainted under the Lord's chastisement? I have. They just throw up their hands and quit. They become spiritual dropouts. Don't resent the chastisement. Don't faint under the chastisement. But number three, be exercised by the chastisement. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, the shepherd deals with a stubborn sheep with the rod of chastisement. But what about the straying sheep? Psalm 23:4,
It not only speaks of the shepherd's rod, but the shepherd's staff. See, sometimes he would cut another sapling and he would cut that knob completely off at the roots there. And then he would either put the sapling in boiling water, or steam it in some way so he could get it pliable. Then he would bend it and put a crook in the top of it, and then he would tie a piece of sinew or something on there so it would dry like that, and so when he let it go, it would stay that way. Well, that crook was made just the size that it needed to be to go around a sheep's neck. So if that sheep started to stray, he could put that crook around that sheep's neck and just pull him back into the flock. Or he could pull him up out of a ravine. Or he could pull him out of a patch of briars. He could pull him up out of a mud puddle or whatever. And that's what David was talking about in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2 when he says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." See, David knew all about the ways of a shepherd. Sometimes a mother sheep would get so concerned with what she was doing and what she wanted, she'd forget about her little lamb. And the shepherd knew he couldn't let that go on, because if she strayed away from her lamb long enough, she'd forget about that lamb. And so he'd use that crook to bring that mother back to that little lamb. He didn't want that little lamb to miss out on the mother's care. When we fall in the pits, when we get caught up in the briars, when we need a lift up out of the miry clay, when we need to be drawn back under the umbrella of our parents' care, thank God for the shepherd who knows how to skillfully use the crook to draw us back. But not only were there stubborn sheep and straying sheep, there were also sick sheep. Sheep would come into the sheepfold at night. You know, a couple weeks ago, you saw a film of that on Wednesday night at the sheepfold, and we talked about it, I think, last week, where the shepherd would lay across the gate and he'd count the sheep as they came in. When they came in, he'd call them by name, and he would take his fingers and run it through the wool of that sheep, and he would be feeling for scars or lacerations or scabs or anything. And if he found one, he would take his bottle of oil and he would pour it on there and massage it in to soften that up and to soothe that sore. He'd give comfort and healing to that sheep. That oil was oftentimes mixed with sulfur and tar to help keep the insects away. Sheep can get a thing called nose flies, so they would put that around the nose and stuff to keep those flies out of its nose and keep them from introducing parasites to that sheep. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit that protects us from the devil's flies. He's described as the oil in the Bible. Thank God for soothing and comforting oil when we're wounded or hurting. The shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by name. He corrects them. He breaks them. He binds them. He soothes them. He heals them. And he brings them back to himself. And I think David had all those things in mind when he wrote, "He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And David had been stubborn and broken. David had strayed and been retrieved. David had been hurt and wounded and healed by the Lord. So thank God for the ministry of chastisement. Thank God for the ministry of correction. And thank God for the ministry of comfort. I'm here today because the shepherd knows how to use his rod and his staff and his soothing oil. I wonder if you could say the same thing. The thing that got David right was the ministry of the shepherd, but there's also the mastery of the shepherd. Not only does he restore our soul, but he leads in paths of righteousness. He restores us that he might guide us and master us. Unfortunately, the only thing we're ever interested in is getting restored. But if you don't go from restoration into righteousness, you're going to fall right back into the same trouble you had before. A restored sheep ought to follow more closely to the shepherd than ever before. So the question is, how many times are we going to fall before we learn to stay close to the shepherd? Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." To follow the shepherd, three things are necessary. First of all, you have to be obsessed with the shepherd. Number two, you have to observe the shepherd. Sheep don't have good eyesight. They have to stay close to the shepherd. Number three, you have to obey the shepherd. And you can't obey someone whose voice you have never heard. How are you going to hear the shepherd? Well, you're going to have that quiet time in those green pastures of his word that we talked about last week. You're going to have to chew the cud, meditating on the word that you've heard and read in that quiet time. You'll hear his voice in the word, and that's how he'll lead and guide you. In John 6:63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. That's the mastery of the shepherd. But the problem with us is we're always trying to get out of trouble instead of into righteousness. I'm glad he gets us up when we get down. But wouldn't you like to get up and stay up? Wouldn't you like to be a force for God rather than always being a casualty? We tend to have a restoration mentality. But after the ministry of the shepherd, there needs to come the mastery of the shepherd. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness. So why don't you determine today that when you do get right with God, you're going to stay right with God. But not only is there the ministry of the shepherd and the mastery of the shepherd, here's the last thing I want to show you. The majesty of the shepherd. The majesty of the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What's the next part? For his name's sake. A couple of weeks ago, when we talked about the Lord is my shepherd, we saw that word Lord. It's all in caps if you have a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, shame on you. You need to get one. But it's all caps. It's the word Jehovah. It's the word Yahweh. See, God's name is at stake by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act. The shepherd's reputation is on display through the actions and the obedience of his sheep. Jehovah is the most sacred word for God in all of the Old Testament, but it's not mentioned one single time in the New Testament. You know why? Because Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd." The name Jesus literally means Jehovah saves. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Psalm 95 verse 7, "For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture." Our text today says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I don't know about you, but I don't want to disgrace the name that's done so much for me. And what keeps me straight? Well, number one, the Lord restores me when I stray. Number two, He leads me day by day. Number three, there is in my heart a desire to glorify that name. The name Jesus is all of the hallelujahs of all eternity wrapped up in five letters, J-E-S-U-S. I'm going to close with this verse to put on your mind, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His." Remember what He said in John 10? "I know my sheep. I call them by name. They follow me." He says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you're going to glorify that name, you're going to have to depart from iniquity. I want our musicians to come. We're going to prepare for a time of invitation. Like every Sunday, I'm going to ask you to just get honest with yourself. Get honest with God. When I talk about a restored sheep, a mastered sheep, a sheep who's concerned about honoring the name of his shepherd, does that describe you? If it doesn't, don't you think there's some business you need to take care of? That's what the invitation's for. What are we going to sing, Gary?
191.
191. Let's sing. Let's stand. And you consider if you're a sheep that's in good standing with the shepherd. Wouldn't it be better if you voluntarily followed the shepherd rather than him having to break your leg? You say, "That just sounds awful." Well, tell me where that sheep would be if the shepherd hadn't done it. What's better? To get your leg broke and be hand-fed by the shepherd while he talks to you and soothes you and binds you and heals you? Or to let him just let you go do your own thing and get devoured by the wolf somewhere? We spend a lot of time asking God why. That's not our question. Why is God's question? We just say, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" That's it. That's all our business is. What do you want me to do, Lord? What's He want you to do right now? You decide as we sing.
I have decided.
Is that true?
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Are you really going to follow Him?
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Before we leave, I want to take this chance to thank you all. I should have done that last night, but everybody got away before I knew it. I was busy talking, but can you believe that? But thank you so much for all the well wishes. We have beautiful cards, and some of you gave cards to us financially, which were not expected, but we thank you. And thanks to Craig and for Jody for providing the food. And I thank Becky and Shelley, and we're working in the back. I know Pat met with the girls to help out, and so we thank all that. Probably forgotten some people. And I want to thank my wonderful daughters. Deanna's here today, and Jeannie, for all the plans they made, the expense they went to, and it was just beautiful. And Cheryl and I are so grateful for it, and we're appreciative. And it's so good to be a part of our family home, but also our family of God here at Webb Baptist Church. Thank you so much. Let's dismiss with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his faithful preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd, that we're not just set out to wander not have a leader, but we have you as our leader. And we thank you for that, and we thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for when we stray that you correct us. And Lord, help us to receive that correction and to get back into line and to be obedient to you and to walk with you and follow you all the days of my life. As we'll get to that verse, I know I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands and we dismiss.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one. Joy.